Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that is in this place with your people. We thank you that God, that you are moving, and God, that you are alive. You are not a paper, you're not made out of stone, you're not made out of wood, but you are Spirit, you are God. And you're seeking those who would worship you in truth and in spirit. We thank you for the Word of God. And we thank you, Lord, for this congregation. Lord, we thank you for the difficulties that, Lord, that you will bring them through. And Lord, there are times when we walk alone. And as that psalm says, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me. Lord, many times we're looking at the shadows instead of looking at what's causing the shadows, and that's the light. Help us in these times, in these difficult times, to always to look to you. Father, we thank you that even death has no longer a sting. Thank you that, Father, to close our eyes here is to open our eyes before you, to stand in your presence. Oh, the glory of it all, that our present suffering is in no way in comparison to what awaits each and every one that has placed their faith and their trust in you. We thank you in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. And that Philippians 1:29 is very powerful. When I waited for a long time, my family and I, we waited a long time to get down to Costa Rica. And we had done a lot of preparation. We got prepared. We had our team ready to go. We had our support team, prayer team, financial team. We visited the area before that, and we prayed over that area because we had two choices, either Ecuador or Costa Rica. And when we met with the pastors, and what happens is in that culture, you meet pastors from all over, but these pastors, I met with them, and most of them had only a 6th to 7th grade education. None of them have gone to Bible college. And what happened is that some of these short-term missions come and they lead people to Christ. And so when a lot of people come to Christ, they don't have a pastor. They say, oh, this guy, he's got a Bible. Why don't you lead them and be their pastor? So we've met many pastors like that. They're saying, please, would you come and teach us? Will you come and train us? Because we're lacking. And then we're seeing the prosperity gospel move in such powerful ways like we see up here. But there's another one that's just as deadly, even more deadlier. It's contemplative spirituality. Be careful of the contemplation. This is from the Catholic movement, ecumenical movement. Okay? It's like listening prayers, centering prayers, and all those things. It has its foundation in the occult, but it's moving into evangelical Protestant churches. So these pastors have been asking us, and they begged us to come, and that was one of the reasons why we came down there. And then in my short time that we were there, my daughter Stephanie got ill, and she needed surgery. Lord, this is our daughter we're going to place. You know, it's scary to put your daughter in a facility. You're going, is she going to be okay? Is she going to be okay? We had to leave every 3 months to go down to Panama because we hadn't received our permanent residence yet. And so we had to leave every 3 months, and it was in Panama that I contracted dengue fever. The dengue fever that I had was the broken bone dengue. There's a variety. There's a hemorrhagic dengue. But we know that there was an associated lady from Africa that had dengue. About the same time I did, and they were flying her to Germany, and she died on the way. And again, I didn't know what was going to happen. I was feeling very sick, and I didn't want to say anything to my family because right now our finances needed to go to take care of our daughter. But let me just tell you this. My daughter, Stephanie, she had this hole in her back. She had to have it packed. She was in a lot of pain. And I'm just thinking to myself, this is her first mission. Her experience being out in the mission field, in a foreign country. This is something. And I thought my heart just started to break. So I went to her and I said, honey, I'm so sorry. I am so, so sorry. And then she said, Dad, I want you to read Philippians 1:29. So I read it. She said, it's been granted. And she says, Dad, that granting means it's a privilege. I have this privilege to suffer for his name's sake. I want you to know that it's okay. And then I just bawled. I bawled and I bawled and I just cried. I just said, Lord, I'm the one that's supposed to be strong and it's my daughter who's strong, you know? And there's times that we go through storms and we think that we're all alone. Just remember when Jesus got into the boat and he fell asleep and they were going across the other side and they came across this big storm. And we see that in Matthew, right? That all of a sudden, here it is, this big storm, and the waves are crashing in on the boat. And they were saying, Lord, don't you care that we're going to drown? We might drown here. And what did Jesus do, the first thing he did? He didn't rebuke the wind and the waves. He said to his disciples, O ye of little faith. He corrected them first. And then he said, be still. How big is your faith this morning? No matter what your situation that you might be going through, no matter what storm, no matter what difficulties you might go through, just know that God is there with you. And I want to tell you what, there's a couple of times where I thought I was going on to the other side and I came very close. But I'll tell you what, I knew who was waiting for me on the other side. My family, my mom and dad said, why do you want to go back to Costa Rica? Why do you want to go back there? You almost died. I said, because nowhere in Scripture does it say retreat. Show me in Scripture where it says retreat. There is no place. Let me tell you something, my friends. There's people out here at Lucky Lake that are going to hell. They're going to hell. Do we care? Do we care enough to tell them the truth? Do we care enough to tell them the gospel message? Your problems might be big in your own eyes, but let me tell you what, there's a God who is bigger. And he looks at that and he goes, that's nothing. Just by the power of his word. My friends, this morning, Jody and I are going back to Costa Rica because we have a job to finish. And like Billy Graham said many, many times, you know, that if he had a choice, he would not change his career. But that if he had a choice, that's what he would do all his life, is to tell people about Jesus Christ. And that was a man of integrity, a man of honor. He would not even get into an elevator alone with a woman. He was very careful in how he lived out his godly life. Amen? And we need to be careful ourselves. No matter what storm you're going through, no matter what difficulty, I'm asking you this morning, how big is your God? He who created the heavens and the earth, who created you, don't you think that he's big enough to take care of any problem? Church, it's not your problem. And it's not your problem to save these people. God does the saving. But it's your responsibility, church, to gather together, to have a vision that is from God, from heaven above. And his vision and his desire is that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. His desire that everyone would hear this wonderful message. And that's why he's given us this ministry of reconciliation. It's not just for you, but it's for all. It's for all. Amen? Amen. But you know what? We came into this church, we felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. And that's something that's rare. We felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place.
God loves you. He desires to have a relationship. Remember, just going to church doesn't make you a believer or a disciple. Just because you are convinced, you might have been interested and curious, that doesn't make you a Christian. Even being convinced doesn't make you a Christian. It's when you have made Jesus truly Lord of every area of your life, of every area of your heart. Is he truly Lord and Savior? That's when you are truly, truly committed, committed to him. You make decisions based on what he wants. You make decisions on your finances based on what God's desire. You're putting first the kingdom of God. Can I encourage you, as a body of believers, as I close, to love each other? Because this is the most powerful thing. Think of the person that you love the least in this room. Don't look at them. Please don't look at me. But think of the person that you love the least, that you might have gripes or complaints about. That's how much you love Jesus. When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. Let your love be so evident that even out there they will praise your heavenly Father because they see the love and the care that you have for one another. And let me tell you what, it's contagious. When you start giving everything away that you feel that God's calling you to give away, let me tell you what, it's contagious. When you give your love away, it's contagious. Let me tell you what, you can't give enough away, because I'll tell you what, there's a world out there that's hungering for that kind of love, and that love comes from God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for this body of believers, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would move today upon their hearts, and that, Lord, that you would have your way with them. Lord, that they would make you truly Lord over every area. The things they watch on TV, the things they do on their cell phones or internet, or Father, whatever they see on the television. Lord, even when it comes to hockey or sports, may they always put church first. May they put Jesus first. May they put one another before their own needs. And Father God, we thank you that, Lord, that Father, that you have granted us first to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, you've granted that as a privilege. Father, as a special thing, Father God. Hallelujah. Even our faith is a gift from you. And Heavenly Father, this wonderful gift of our faith in you, Lord, as Romans 8 tells us, Lord, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And Lord, you're telling us through your word that, Father, it doesn't matter how bad or how grievous your sin is, if you come to Jesus and the blood of Jesus will wash away every stain. And Father, we thank you that no matter what our past was, Lord, if we truly confess and we truly repent, that, Lord, that the blood of Jesus will wash away every stain, and that we can rejoice and we can be glad because we have a God who is able to do the impossible. And we thank you for that. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would bind all the demonic powers and principalities and authorities here at around Lucky Lake and around the surrounding areas. Father, we come against all demonic powers and principalities. We come against, Father, all the powers of this age, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would bind them hand, foot, and mouth and shut the liar up. And Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name that we would go, Father, and tie the strong man and go and rob his house. Father, we want the converts. We want, Father, the people here in Lucky Lake, Father God. We want to fill this church with your people, God. And Father, to have issues and problems with church growth, that God, that we have to expand and knock out the walls, Lord. Father, you're the one that's able. And Father, we pray that from this church, Lord, that you would send out missionaries. From this church, you would send out pastors. From this church, oh God, that you would send out, Father, your people, oh God, to do your work. And Father, we place our faith and our trust in you, for you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that, God, that you've granted us also to suffer for your name's sake. Heavenly Jesus, Heavenly Father, sweet, sweet Holy Spirit, we come before you to adore you, to worship you this morning. But as a congregation, Lord, we pray, wash us, cleanse us, purify us and draw us to yourself. Lord, oh God, Heavenly Father, this is your bride. This is your bride. May she wake up. May she wake up, for the time is short. What matters is what we do for the kingdom. We thank you and we praise you and glorify your holy name. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know. Maybe there's some things in your past. Maybe there's some things in your past that you feel like the enemy constantly comes against you, brings up. I want to tell you this morning that if you place your faith and your trust, you put your hand in his hand. If you confess your sin and repent of it, it says in his word, and God is not a liar. He says that he is just and faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Heavenly Father, let the thing that's in the past be in the past. Father, like Corrie ten Boom says, you throw it into a sea of forgetfulness, this big pit, and you put a sign up that says no fishing. Lord, we pray that you will shut the mouth of the liar. And we pray over this town, Father, that the deceiving spirits would be, Father, bound and open their eyes. God, open the eyes of the people that are out there to see of their sin, to see that they're lost. And Lord, let them not rest until they make themselves right with you. We thank you and we praise you for all these good things. God, may you have your way with this church. Give them a passion and a fire. Let them move, Father God, as like they've never moved before. Give them the unction of the Holy Spirit to move. Let the fires of prayer altars come open, Father. Let them be open again. Let your people pray to you, O God, because that is how you move, is through prayer. And Lord, we thank you. Because Lord, we want your will to be done, and that's what our prayer is. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We commit this day, we commit this morning, we commit these people to you. Father, set them on fire. Oh, holy God, in Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen and amen. This morning, just one more thing I'd like to share with you. In the mission field, we see things. We experience things. And I want to tell you something. When you're dealing with coming into a territory that the enemy has had for quite a long time, and you start to share the gospel, you encounter people that are demon-possessed. You're encountering witches who are trying to put curses on you. We've encountered many things. We've seen things with our own eyes that we were just going, that's hard to believe. And I'll tell you what, even demon-possessed people, one man had the power to snap 2 2-by-4s with his bare hands. That's not human. That's demonic. But I'll tell you what, when he threatened me, he came up to threaten me, and I said, you have no power over me unless it was given to you by my Father in heaven. I said, shut your mouth and come out of him. And he dropped down to the floor. He dropped really fast, and he started to scream because he saw the demons coming out of his mouth. I didn't see them, but he did. But let me tell you something. Our battle's not with flesh and blood. We're in a battle. And we're in the battle because the enemy does not sleep. We get tired. We need to sleep. But the enemy does not sleep. He is seeking a way. But I want to tell you something. There's a name that is above all names, and that name is Jesus. And when you're not sure, you call on Jesus, because where Jesus is, darkness cannot dwell. Amen? May the Lord bless you, keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you all peace. God bless you all. Thank you.